So we're going to open up the Bibles to Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 23. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. What fruit did you have in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruits to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Great words, great verses. Amen. And so as we open up these verses, Paul here is trying to distinguish between a person who is Adam in terms of chapter 5 or in Christ. We still live by the law or by grace. And so verse 16 starts here with, who do you obey? There is ultimately someone, something that someone obeys all the time. There is no neutral ground here. And so what Paul here is saying, do you not know? Almost like it's something that every Christian should know. Do you not know to whom you present, whom you obey? You are that one slave to whom you obey. And so I want us all to ask this question and keep this in mind as we go on. Whom do we obey? Who is your master? Is it sin that is leading to death? Or is it obedience leading to righteousness? At first glance, if someone might read this really quickly, you might think that he has a choice. That you might have a choice. That which one do I want to be? You read this and you might think, which one do I want to be? When that's not what Paul is saying at all. What Paul is saying, which one are you? He's telling you to examine yourself, to see, to put yourself on the mark, on the spot, for you to know your ground. One might read this and say, sin and death, that doesn't seem too appealing. So I think I'll be obedience leading to righteousness. I think I'm going to go with that one. When that's not the case at all. What he's trying to help you is to examine yourself, to see which one you are. And then as he goes on through the rest of the verses, he will dissect every single one of them so you would know which one you belong to. And so one would choose obedience and righteousness. If that is the case, if you think that it would be in choosing, and so you would change your act. You would think, I got to straighten out my act if I'm going to be obedient that's leading to righteousness. I got to change my act. So you change your act and even change your mindset. What do I mean by mindset? You start to read more of the Bible. That's not bad, but you start reading the Bible more. You start going to church more. You might start reading other books regarding that more. And you're going to be even nicer and so forth. You might be polite, nicer. But even though these things are good, these things are great, however, they are inspired by choice. Not the Holy Spirit is not the one who is giving you the growth. The Holy Spirit is ultimately that has to give you the growth, not yourself. And so you would grow, not in Christ, but in your own choice. And you would get burned up by the scorching sun in all the forms of trials, tribulations, and persecutions. Jesus explains this when he talks about the seeds being scattered. Because they were not rooted in Christ, they have no root, and so they collapsed. And they would wither because Christ is not the root. And so you would get burned up. Christ was never your own. You never groomed Christ, and he was never the root. So that's something that we must see. You must see that it is Christ who gives the growth. Again, this is what he's going to talk about all this way. In Romans 3, he explains that it is not a choice because everybody leaves God. No one seeks after him. No, not one. So again, who do you obey? In Matthew 6:24, it says, you can only have one master, either God or money. You cannot have both. As we go on through this question, I want us to ask this question, as did Malachi. In Malachi verses 1 through chapter 1, verse 6, as a son honors his father, and a son and a servant honors his master, if then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? If we are children of God, do we truly honor God? Do we truly revere God? Do we esteem him beyond everything else? And so verse 16 poses us with this question as he uncovers it as we go through the verses. This is sort of like an introductory to everything else. When speaking of salvation, who do we ultimately thank? Think to yourselves, who do we ultimately thank when it comes to salvation? Paul here thanks God. I don't know about you, but Paul thanks God. In chapter 1, verse 8, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all. And here, verse 17, the second time, he says, But God be thanked. It is God who receives all the glory. It is God who receives all the glory, not a choice. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, the Lord says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. God creates for his own glory. We read this in Isaiah 43, 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. The Lord makes his own. The Lord forms his own. Just like he said, let there be light, he says, let there be light in the soul of a person, in the heart of a man. And he forms him. So let us be as Ezekiel when asked by God. In Ezekiel 37, verse 3, Son of man, can these dry bones live? Can these bones live? Let us be as Ezekiel, that he said, O Lord God, you know, only you know, if these bones can live. And then he in verse 5 says, Surely I will cause breath to enter you. Verse 6, I will put tendons on you. And then he says later on, verse 6, that you shall know that I am the Lord. He says, Speak to these bones, prophecy to these bones, Jeremiah or Ezekiel, and they will live because my words have life. One man once said that God's words are just as strong as he is. That is true. God's words is just as strong as he is. And we also see this same concept of the Lord doing before we could ever do anything in Ezekiel 36, chapter 36, verse 25 through 27. We see that the Lord brings life before we could ever do anything. Verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water. I will cleanse you. Verse 26, I will give a new heart. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. And then only you do here before God does something. And then only you walk, keep, and do in verse 26. I'm sorry, verse 27. That is the only way salvation comes, if God cleanses, gives a new heart, and puts his spirit. That is the recipe of salvation. We walk in God's statutes, we keep God's words, and we do them. Ask yourself these things. Ask yourself these questions. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Do you walk as Jesus walked? Do you see Jesus in you? Better yet, does the world see Jesus in you? Does the world see this light that is only provided by Christ himself? Psalm 51, verse 4, David says, Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Do we do and say, as the psalmist says, it is against you, you only, that I have sinned? Are we convicted of sin when we sin? Surely only a new heart gives sight to sin's condemnation. Only a new heart gives light to sin. Otherwise, we bathe in it. Just like Job said, we eat it with joy. And let us also be as Joseph, who says, How can I do this great wickedness and sin against the Lord? Do we have this attitude of a holy Christian man? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Again, do we walk, do we keep, and do we do those things? So not as everyone who does or who says things is a Christian. John MacArthur once said, asked the question, do you know how much your profession of Christ is worth? He said, absolutely nothing. Your profession of faith it means nothing. It's what you do is what matters. Does Christ living in you, does that show? Do you do his will? And then, so do we know the Father's will? First of all, that is to be holy, to be sanctified, to be more like Christ on a daily basis. And do you know your own personal, and your Father's will in your own personal life? Do we know what that is in our life? So Paul here thanks God that he saved us, that God saved us. That's what Paul here is saying. Verse 17, though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. How did we obey from the heart if the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else? Jeremiah says that in 17:9. If our heart is deceitfully wicked, how could we have ever obeyed that which is from God? Again, that recipe needed to happen. We needed to have a new heart for us to ever obey. And again, that's something that the Lord does before we can ever do anything. We are completely satisfied in sin before we were adopted into the family of God. And so first he saved us, and then he changed us. If God cleanses you, places a new spirit in you, he cleanses you, then he places his heart to be fit for a clean place. He's not going to put a new heart in something that is filthy. He cleanses you, he puts a new heart in you, and then he puts his spirit to give life to that heart, that it may live for him. Then Paul in verse 17 says that it is, again, God that saves you, and he molded you. It's almost as if when we read that you obeyed from the heart the doctrine to which you were, other translations say, entrusted. Here it says delivered. Not to get confused that it's not something that we were delivered from, it's something that we were delivered into. We were entrusted into this doctrine. It's almost as if God molded us, he melted us, he poured us into this doctrine to which we were delivered into. That's the image that he's providing here. That he changed us. That's the only way that we could have ever obeyed his words, his doctrine, if we were molded to that. And then, that's the main idea here in these verses. Today I'll only be covering these two verses. Next Sunday, Lord willing, I'll be able to cover the rest of these verses. But let us think of these questions as we go on. Is that real to us, that we have a new heart, that we are sensitive to sin as David was? Do we say it is against you only that I have sinned? Or do we just feel morally obligated to maybe say sorry to someone? It's a higher level than that. Upsetting God is another level than upsetting a neighbor. God is only one. Neighbors, you have plenty. Have you received a new heart from God in which his Holy Spirit dwells? Do you have this new heart that is completely sensitive to sin, that walks as Christ walks and does his will? Do we have that? Examine yourself. Ask yourself these questions. Are we sensitive to sin as David was? Do we walk with Christ? Do we do his wills? Next week we'll talk about growth from the saved person, the result of that saved person, of his heart. And then we'll see the decrease of the perishing, their end, and the other person's end. Amen.